Titus chapter number 2. Our pastor, he preached this morning out of the book of Timothy. And we know Paul was writing through inspiration of the Holy Ghost to two young pastors, Timothy and another one tonight, Titus. I believe you'll find in Titus, he was like you and I. Titus was a Gentile, but he was saved by God's grace. And we find, Paul led Titus. We don't know for sure, but Paul probably led Titus to Christ through his preaching or through his ministry. Paul refers to Titus in 1 Corinthians as his brother. In 1 Corinthians, he refers to Titus as his partner and fellow worker. And we find in Titus chapter 1 that he refers to Titus as his own son. So we find a close, tight-knit between Paul and Titus. And Paul, he's encouraging Titus, and he's giving Titus counsel. He's trying to teach and to train this young pastor just as he did Timothy. I believe in the book of Titus we find three major themes. And we'll talk of one of those themes, but we find that Paul speaks and tells Titus about the works in Jesus Christ. You know, we don't work to be saved, but because we are saved, we ought to have a zeal to work and to do good in Jesus Christ. Paul also not only speaks of works, but he speaks of the, of having sound doctrine and having being sound in faith. And I'm glad I go to a church that's sound in doctrine, that's sound in faith, that don't waver from the old past. And we also see in the book of Titus, he speaks of salvation. Titus, he's telling us, and it's a straightforward letter. Paul gets straight to the point. It's where we can take it at face value. It should be easy for us to understand this simple writing that Paul is giving to Titus. Paul has left Titus in Crete, and he's left him there for a few reasons. Well, number one is to ordain elders and to teach the leaders of the church, but he also states there in chapter 1, verse 5, he said to set some things in order that are wanting. Paul, through the Holy Ghost, he tells Titus, he says, Titus, I want you to speak some things. I want you to exhort some things. And Titus, in speaking these and exhorting these and explaining these, let no man despise thee. And that's what I'll look at tonight here in Titus chapter number 2, verses 11 through verse number 15. I want to preach on the thought tonight, simple thought, God's grace, God's grace. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. God's grace. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your grace. We want to thank you tonight for your goodness. Lord, we want to thank you tonight. We can call you as our Savior and call upon you as our Father and our Helper and our Redeemer. God, we rejoicing today over that one that was born again in the family of God. Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for your shed blood, the power of the blood that was sung about. But Father, we need you now. We need something fresh, something new. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us and help us and manifest yourself tonight. And we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God's grace. You know, many of you, like myself, have heard that the grace of God has been defined as God's riches at Christ's expense, and rightfully so. That's a good definition. But I believe we'll find a few different types of grace tonight, and we'll go through these fairly quick, and we'll look lastly at a type of grace that God gives only to a special kind of people, a people that desires and a people that has a longing and a grace that people has a desire of move of God. We'll look at that just in a few minutes. But verse number 11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." I want to say number one and talk about the saving grace. This is the saving grace. It's saving grace that brings a salvation to all men. You know, we don't go out and obtain salvation, and we don't go out and grab and get a hold of salvation. Rather, this gospel of grace, it comes to us. And when it comes to us and comes before us, we have that opportunity to accept God's grace. We notice in the text that the Bible says it hath appeared to all men. I'm glad this gospel of grace, it reveals itself to you and I. And it reveals itself to men and women, young and old, to sinners and saints alike. Notice it says it hath appeared to all men. I'm glad this gospel of grace, the saving grace, did it not just stop at the Jews, but it came also to the Gentiles. It's open to all, and it's for all, and all is invited to come and partake of this saving grace. I'm glad there's only one gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, to some, God does not give the gospel of grace. And to some, he does not just give the gospel of the law. And some, he doesn't give humanism and self-righteous. But the Bible says all men can find salvation through this saving grace. It's appeared to all men. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." I'm glad for this saving grace, God's grace. God's gift is his son, darling son, Jesus Christ. However, this gift is revealed to us when the light of this glorious grace appears to you and I. One writer stated about this text, he said, "The light and the warmth of the sun is for the whole earth. However, it does not shine upon the earth at the same time, nor with the same intensity." You see, I can't explain and I can't tell you how often or when or how God's grace will appear to you. However, you can be sure tonight, just as the sun's going down, that one day this gospel of saving grace will stop and it will no longer appear to you. But tonight we have the opportunity. If it appears to us, we can obtain this saving grace. The Bible says in verse 11, all men. It does not teach a universal salvation. Yet it's speaking of the humanity. It's speaking of mankind. Jesus Christ, I'm glad he made that significant sacrifice. And we see that it covers every sin and for everyone who will believe upon his name. The word appeared. It means to show. It means to shine a light upon. This saving grace that I'm speaks. And it shows us that we have a Savior. It shows us that his name is Jesus Christ. It shows us that he loves us despite of our past and despite of our failures and despite of our current situation. This grace, it speaks and it shows us if we'll only call upon his name, we too can be saved. This grace, it appears to all. It's the saving grace, the gospel of grace. Verse number 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It says teaching us. This grace I see, second, is sanctifying grace. It teaches us, it shows us that you and I, once we accept and we partake of this saving grace, there's a sanctifying grace. There's a place for you and I as born-again believers to be set apart and to be separated. The word teaching, it means to instruct. The word teaching means to inform. We find here that the Word of God, this grace, sanctifying grace, is instructing you and instructing me that as believers, there's some things that we need to be set apart from. I was thinking about being set apart from ourselves. Brother Jason said it so beautifully a few weeks ago. He said his greatest concern is not the enemy, but the inner me. You know, there's some things we need to be set apart from. Sanctifying grace. It operates in the lives of believers, and it teaches us. It's demanding us. It's instructing us that you and I, as God's children, need to draw a line and say no, and to be separated and be set apart from the worldly lusts. Verse 11, that saving grace, it puts the ungodliness, it puts the worldly lusts in our past, and this saving grace, it washes it clean and white as snow. But now this sanctifying grace teaches us that we ought to renounce some things, we ought to avoid some things, we need to separate ourselves from some things, and we find that this sanctifying grace is not preached at many Baptist churches today. You know, we need to be set apart. Bible tells us we're a peculiar people. It doesn't mean odd or different, but the word peculiar is translated special. You see, God thinks that we're a special type of people. And we don't need to defile ourselves in a wicked and ungodly manner. Sanctifying grace, there's saving grace. I notice in verse number 13, there's seeing grace. It says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This seeing grace, it teaches us that you and I, we need to expect and we need to prepare for a blessed hope. You know, Brother Randy said it tonight, our hope is not in heaven. Our hope is not even in the glory we will experience and we be manifested forever and ever. But our hope is in Jesus Christ himself. It's a glorious appearing of the great God, the Bible says, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He came first to save the soul of men, but I'm glad he's coming a second time to resurrect these old bodies. He came the first time to die on a tree, but I'm glad he's coming a second time to sit on his throne. He came the first time, we notice, as a meek and lowly and in all humility, but he's coming again as a great God, a powerful God, full of majesty. He came the first time and he was judged by men, but he's coming a second time to judge all men. And although I've never seen this great God in my presence, although I've felt his presence, I've seen him work in the church, I've witnessed and manifested him in my family, one day I will see him face to face. The song says, I've never seen the face of my Savior, but serving him has been such a thrill. I've never seen the gates of that city. Oh, but one day I will. One day I'm going to walk on a street of pure gold, and they tell me the half has never yet been told. I'll be united with loved ones up on Zion's holy hill. One day I will. I long for the day that my eyes see this blessed hope face to face. It's the seeing grace of God, the sanctifying grace of God, the saving grace of God. But all I can say, it's our Savior's grace. Notice in verse number 14, the Bible says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The Bible says, who? Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the darling Son of God, who gave. It implies that Jesus Christ, what he gave was voluntary, what he gave was free, what he gave was freely done without obligation and without regret. It says who gave himself. It means that he gave all he could give. He gave all everything. He gave his life and he gave his glory. He gave his blood. He gave his fellowship for the Father for us. Who gave himself for us. That's the Savior's grace. Paul was telling Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, you speak some things, you exhort some things, and you let no man despise the grace of God. And I'm thankful for his grace. I'm glad for the grace of God that's bestowed to every man, that's given and appeared to every man, that God, we know, gives his grace freely. And I'm thankful for this grace. However, there's a certain type of grace that God only gives to a special group of people. We see in our text, the saving, sanctifying, seeing Savior's grace is bestowed to all men. But there's a certain grace that you and I, if we want to obtain, we have to meet certain criteria. God's grace, it's a different type of grace. This is not offered to everyone. Only those that are willing, only those that desire this special kind of grace will obtain it. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse number 33. Acts 4, verse 33. The Bible says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Begin to think about this word great grace. That word great grace in the Greek, it's translated mega. It's translated powerful. It's translated strong. You see, this grace, this strong grace, is only given to a certain select group of people. You know the text, Peter and John, they go up to the temple in the ninth hour. They go to the house of God to pray. On their way to pray, they run into a man that's lame. He's laying there at the gate. He's asking for alms. He has no one to supply his needs. He has no way to earn an income. He's lame. He's helpless and hopeless. He's asking for alms. And Peter and John see him. The Bible says that they look upon him. They fastened upon him. They glared intently toward him. And Peter stated, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." We know the story. They take this man by the hand and they enter into the house of God, into the temple, and he's walking, he's leaping, and he's praising God. You know, when we come to the house of God, let me just say this. We have some things to thank him for. We have some things to leap and praise and say, "Thank you, God, that I can come to the house of God." They took him by the hand and they enter into the house of God, and this upsets the priest. It upsets the rulers and the Sadducees and the scribes, and they arrest Peter and John. They put them under bondage, and there they arrest Peter and John, and they bring the council before Peter and John, and they ask Peter and John a question. They wanted to know, by what power and by what name can they do such a thing? The Bible says that Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, he began to preach Jesus. He's standing before this great council. They have the power to imprison them. They have the power to take their lives. And Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, begins to preach Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen again. They go back. These scribes, this council, the religious rulers and sects of the day, they wanted nothing to do with Peter and John. And they commanded, they threatened them that they should not even speak or preach in the name of Jesus. John and Peter, they go back. The Bible states it to their own company. They go back to their own company. And in verse number 23, the Bible says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had to say unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord." I'm speaking of this strong grace. Strong grace that God gives Peter and John and this company because they met some criteria. Number one, they met God's needs and his command to praise. It says that they were arrested, they were released, they go back to their company, and they begin to lift their voice with one accord. I was wondering tonight, are you caught up on your praise? You know, they're thanking God, this great God that was in control. And I was thinking this afternoon, you know, we're commanded to praise God. Worship is voluntary. Worship is a choice that we have. But God commands us to praise him. This Hebrew songbook, the Psalms, Psalms 50, verse 6, the very last verse in the Hebrew songbook, the Bible says, "Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord." The whole reason that Jesus Christ, the Creator, gave us breath is to praise his darling name. Tonight, I was wondering, before you lay down and go to bed, can you say, "Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, and with all my mind, I've praised you." You see, they met some criteria to get this strong grace, and one of them was praise. You know, for us to get this strong grace, this mighty grace the Bible speaks of, we're going to have to praise God. You know, to Peter and John, I believe they knew something about praising God. And it's a different style, or I don't even know how to express it. It's different to everyone. When I think of Peter, I think of someone that's loud and someone that's boisterous. To Peter, it may be loud praise. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. But John, the one that was close to God and the one whom Jesus loved, that was laying on his breast and on his bosom, maybe it was that quiet, "God, I love you, thank you." To Mary, it was a simple act of anointing his feet and washing his feet with her hair. Our pastor was talking about J. Harold Smith this morning, and Pastor, you may have seen him, I've heard about it. But they say J. Harold Smith, almost nightly, would sit there under the lamp, and he would write love letters to his Savior. You know, there's a different way to praise God in every situation. But God has given Peter and John and that whole company strong grace because they met the criteria of praise. Number two, they met the criteria of praise. God had given them strong grace. But I also see number two, if we want this strong grace, we need to have boldness. Verse 29, the Bible says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." You know, as born-again Christians, we have nothing to fear from man or what society thinks or can do to you and I. You know, we're on the winning side. You know, it seems today every wicked, every perverse, every ungodly thing is coming out of the closet, and God's people are running and hiding in the closet. We need boldness. We need boldness to witness. I heard a statistic this past week. They said that only 6% of so-called saved, born-again believers ever witness. 6 out of 100. They said only 4% do it on a consistent basis. No wonder for every one that gets saved, 13 are converted to Islam. You know, we need to have a boldness tonight because of the blood, the powerful blood of Jesus Christ. March on. May we continue to move forward. May we continue to preach the word of God without wavering and not going back. Boldness, advancing instead of retreating. Romans 8:31, the Bible says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Do you see the boldness of Peter and John? Look at verse number 12. They're standing before this great council. They're being questioned. They don't know what lies ahead. And Peter and John's preaching Jesus Christ. And in verse number 12, they say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They met the criteria. They had a great boldness in Jesus Christ. They met the criteria that they praised their God for all that he'd done for him. And God, we see, gives them this strong grace. And number three, and I'm closing, if we want this strong grace, this mighty grace that God gives Peter and John and this company, not only do we need to praise God and we not have a great boldness, but number three, I think we need to pray. Verse 31, in closing, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I wonder tonight, what's your prayer life like? James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and ye cannot obtain. Yet you have not because you ask not. I wonder, what are you asking God to do for you in your Christian walk? What are you asking God to do for your family? What are you asking God to do for this church? And what are you asking God to do for this country? He said, we have because we ask not. God's children, they were praising him. God's children were doing it in great boldness. God's children were praying to him and asking God. And then verse number 31, we find it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And here it is, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great, that's that strong grace, upon them all. God gives all men saving grace. He gives all men sanctifying grace. He gives all men seeing grace, and that's all because of the Savior's grace. But as a church, as individual believers, if we want this strong grace that Acts chapter 4 speaks about, we're going to have to praise God. We need to do boldness in our walk and our witness, and we need to pray for all that he wants to give us. You ask not. You have not because you ask not. Paul tells Titus, speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. If we want this strong grace, this mighty grace, there's some criteria we have to meet as an individual and as a church. Father, we thank you for the grace of God. Thank you, Father, for your blessings, for your saving grace. Thank you, Father, that we're taught to be separate from this world, the ungodliness and worldly lusts. Lord, I'm thankful one day I'll see you face to face. But Lord, I desire this strong grace the Acts speaks of. Lord, I pray that you'd give me a desire, Father, to witness, to proclaim, to promote the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I desire the day that I see you face to face. And thank you, Father, for all that you've done. But until then, Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray, Father, that your provisions and, Father, your arm of protection and, Father, your guidance and your blessings will be upon this church. Lord, I'm thankful you're still saving sinners. I'm thankful, Father, we can still preach and call upon your name. And, Lord, I just pray that you'd meet the prayers and the needs of your people tonight. Father, we're a needy people. We need you the most. We need this grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Misty comes and plays something, perhaps sing whatever's on her heart, this altar's open. Maybe tonight God's spoken to your heart. Maybe he's pricked your heart, the sweet Holy Ghost has showed you the criteria that we need to meet and where we're wanting and where we're lacking. This altar's open. Whatever your need is,
was lost in my sin. I remember well that night when the Lord saved my soul from hell. And I thank God every day for His grace on me, 'cause I am washed, I'm redeemed, and I've been set free. And I thank the Lord for the glorious night when the blessed Holy Ghost led me to the light at the altar where I prayed. Jesus washed my sins away, and oh, how sweet is the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. God's amazing grace still amazes me. Now there are times that I've walked away from the Lord. My sins were many and my heart grew cold. Fellowship was broken, I felt so all alone. But it didn't matter how far that I'd gone, God was still faithful when I came back home. My sins were forgiven and His grace to me was shown. So I stand here before you tonight, rejoicing 'cause everything's alright. 'Cause in my heart I know that I am saved. And oh, I'm longing just to do God's will. And though I know I will fail Him still, but I'm so glad that His grace never will. And I thank the Lord for the glorious night when the blessed Holy Ghost led me to the light at the altar where I prayed. Jesus washed my sins away, and oh, how sweet is the sound. I once was lost, now I'm found. God's amazing grace still amazes me. And I thank the Lord for the glorious night when the blessed Holy Ghost led me to the light at the altar where I prayed. Jesus washed my sins away, and oh, how sweet is the sound. I once was lost, now I'm found. God's amazing grace still amazes me. And I thank the Lord for the glorious night when the blessed Holy Ghost led me to the light at the altar where I prayed. Jesus washed my sins away, and oh, how sweet is the sound. I once was lost, now I'm found. God's amazing grace still amazes me.
You know, it's funny. You know, people have a time and a place, or a time most of the time. They can say, well, on this date, this happened on this day. It doesn't matter if you got a date, but there is a place where Jesus washed my sins away. It's right over there. And I'm excited because I'm thankful that Jesus was willing to reach down His holy hand to a wretched sinner such as myself. Aren't you thankful for the goodness of God this evening?
I'll stand tonight. I'll ask Jason, Misty, and Allie if you'll lead us in amazing grace. Everybody sing.
I once was lost.
sun years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than
Brother Gunn, marvelous, marvelous grace. Did you notice along the way, the journey, it was progressive? That's the way that God orders things in your life. Salvation first, then sanctified. You'll never get farther in the grace of God or the love of God until you get sanctified, set apart. To do that, you have to do a lot of shucking. God shucks us, get rid of a lot of things we want to carry on. But that sanctifying grace, and then the seeing grace, that was progressive. You don't see the things of God or the need to do the will of God until you get sanctified. Then that great grace that he told us about, it is for select people, and that select people are people who meet the qualifications, but it's available, as he said, to everyone. We can all receive that. And he told us qualifications. Thank God for marvelous grace. Isn't the word of God so precious? Enlightening. Makes you want more and more of the things of God. It's available to any one of us. Anyone have a need this night to testify, do what God told you to do? If everyone been obedient to the great things God's given us, wonderful opportunity. Josh.
Gunn started preaching on grace. God put this on my heart. We got a youth meeting that's coming up. It's less than 2 months away. I wonder how much grace we want God to shed on that. I mean, we've talked about multiple churches coming here, place being full, but, you know, and this great preacher that's coming, he can definitely preach, but if he's the only one, it's going to be a flop. Might as well tell him to stay home. And it's just burdened me, do we have care in our heart for the youth? And the gun stated for one that gets saved, 13, there's converting to Muslimism, or whatever you want to call it, or some other false religion. But what are we doing to intervene? I mean, what are we doing to intervene for our very own children a lot of times? I mean, you know, Sunday morning crowds, they're not even faithful to be here on Sunday night. I mean, there's their heart broke for their own children. What about these children that are going to come here just because they heard this man's name or somebody invited them or somebody told them we're going to feed them? And so I wonder, church, if are we getting ready for this meeting in here and in, on our knees. I've worked with a church that supports the mission work greatly. They've been praying. Somebody's been coming to that church for now, probably, my wife could correct me, but 600 plus or minus days, every day of the week, somebody comes to that church and prays. And that church is growing, and there's people being saved, and they got a prison ministry, and I can go on and on that the stuff that that congregation's doing. But you know what? They got a hold of God's prayer bell for an old term, and they're ringing it. And I wonder if we could get that same hunger for the youth that might be coming into this building and for anointing that man of God that's going to preach and for who the people that's going to sing, you know, because if we don't have the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be anything but a big meeting.
Amen. abundance of her heart. Appreciate that, brother. This Friday night, Maranatha Baptist Church, not just for the youth. We want all of our youth to go, of course. It's for the adults, too. Maranatha Baptist Church, easy to find, easy to get to. Next to East Flat Rock there, not far off the interstate. Pray much for that meeting and go. And this youth meeting we're going to have, it's not just for the youth, it's for you. It's for all of us. We have youth, but adults will bring the youth. So thank God. Thank God for the message, my brother. We appreciate the answer. Let's go to God in prayer and ask him to be with us in the upcoming days, revival for youth. And let's go to God in prayer and trust him to meet every need. We know we can. We certainly believe we will. Brother Gary Wilkie, would you please come and dismiss us in prayer? Pray for Miss Gail and Miss Rita Oxendine's doing a little better. For Miss Mildred Hayes, she's not doing good at all. And for my wife and so many other people that's hurting. And God can do great, marvelous things. Just trust him. We learn how to seek his face in that. Let's obey the scripture. Thank you, Brother Gunn.
Let's all pray together. Father, we thank you again, Lord, that you've let us meet one more time in your house to hear the precious word of God preached, and Lord, how it's helped us and how it's touched us tonight. And Father, we realize, Lord, that we are our own biggest enemy, and help us, Lord, to get the flesh out of the way. Lord, that we can just serve you, Lord, and witness for you and do more for you, Father. Increase our faith, oh Father, we pray. And Lord, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace as we heard about again tonight. Lord, how merciful you were to each one of us, Lord, that can call you Lord and Savior. God, you know the needs of each one here in this congregation, Father. Each one that comes to this church, there's so many needs. Even this week, there's surgeries, Father. And Lord, we know you'll be there in the midst. But Father, there's many that are sick, Father. And Lord, you know the condition, Lord. And you know our prayers, Lord, that you can touch and you can heal. But Father, we always have to pray for your will to be done, Father, because you know what's best for each one of us. Even though we can't always see it, but Lord, we know you're able. And Lord, we just pray you will, Lord. There's so many that needs healing in our church and needs a touch from you. We pray, God, to supply every need. Lord, according to your riches and glory and according to your precious will, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.